Hey, I'm Laura.
And I'm Kit.
And we work together in the food business.
And we thought, hey, let's start a podcast.
Yeah, to highlight everything fresh, local, and honest.
Food and business is how we get to experience community together.
So join us for this adventure. Fresh, Local, Honest, the podcast. So, Kit, we're here.
We're here. Welcome to Fresh, Local, Honest, the podcast.
Yeah, I'm Laura.
Yeah, and I'm Kit.
And we're back again, taking a little breather between our before Corona seasons and after Corona. So, yeah, we're still in the middle of all the things Corona
kind
in California.
Yeah, our transition, so our pivot in this time. And
our governor, I guess, has come out with, like, steps that were, you know, supposed to be kind of going with guidelines. And so some businesses are opening up, and it's getting a little more open out there, I guess, in the small business and local business land. But Kit, like, how have you been navigating this coronavirus situation, and in your family and in your business and your job? It's kind of a big question, right?
It kind of
but
is. Yeah,
it literally has encompassed our entire lives.
Yeah.
So
back in 1986, I'm kidding. That'd be funny, a full rundown.
Wow.
No. Gosh, Corona's been really interesting because I'm a part of the essential worker network, you know, and,
right,
and trying to deliver and take care of, you know, customers and really get food to people that are needing food in these times with everything going on. So for me, I still work, and, you know, I have a stay-at-home wife who takes care of the kids. So it's kind of been a process where it's been weird. It's been really weird for us. It's,
you're still going to work. She's still home. You know, she doesn't have a, she does stay at home, most of the time anyway.
So kind of
internally, it is a lot different, right? Mm-hmm. Like than normal.
Yeah. So kind of for our family, that's the weird part. It's our family, our dynamics haven't changed much. You know, I still go to work during the day. Still, mm-hmm, you know, come home. Family's ready. The family dynamics are kind of, but
daddy's home.
Yeah, but
coming
the
in.
Isolation has almost caused, you know, some of the outside noise to quiet out. You know how you'd kind of get, you know, the push or the random phone calls and, you know, the constant chatter and everything going on, or you have to go to this event or that event, you know, just kind of the business
faded into the background.
Yeah, that kind of went all quiet. So it's been kind of a good at home, you know, but in the same regard, kind of, you know, challenging because you're feeling the emotions and the pain and the hardships that people are going through in this challenging time. So for us, it's like, how do we navigate as a family? How do we continue to stay healthy and continue to also grow closer in this time and not just check out? But also still be sympathetic to the people that are having big changes in their life, big challenges, like the businesses that.
So how has been an essential worker obviously as an essential worker, you're going to work every day, kind of like before. However, there's so much media and and attention on that. Are you feeling fearful, or do you feel, working next to someone, are you afraid you're going to get sick or whatever? There's so many fears going around right now, I just feel like. And so, do you feel you're able to work safely and effectively? I mean, obviously there's stress involved in this time, but
It's, that's, these are all good questions.
Oh.
I work in purchasing at JD Food, and JD Food has done a phenomenal job on protecting employees. Basically kind of closed up the workplace. They've created social distancing in the workplace. We're sanitizing around the clock. We're making sure everything's clean and safe. And so the work environment has been incredibly safe, protected, healthy. So that's all been great. In terms of me, I've noticed more as I'm starting to understand my personality and kind of what's going on, I don't feel a lot of emotions. I just kind of show up and get the job done mentality. So it's been hard for me just because I'll show up and work away and then go home and be unaffected really by kind of everything going on. But in the same regard, being able to watch what's going on and what's going on with people and trying to be sympathetic to what's going on, not just right. shutting it all off and being like, oh, it's not a big deal or anything, but hey, this is a big deal. It's a big deal for mm-hmm. the world that we're living in, the communities that we're living in, the people that we're around, and how do I be more open to what's going on with them, but also hear them, understand what they're going through, and yeah. even kind of just sharing in some
yeah,
of that
I know
hardship.
There is, yeah, like there is a lot of fear out there, like even related to working in the food business and getting like food out there. And so, so I'm glad that you're in a place where you feel like, okay, like yeah. you're, you know, it's a breath of fresh air to hear some good news about that, you know? So yeah, but I'm super excited to find out about all things Kit Maddox, yo. So
the
yeah.
scary vault is starting to be opened.
Let's hear like a little bit about like yourself, Kit. Like, tell us like, how did food find you in your life? Like what's your, yeah.
So let me just open. I have one of the best stories. I'll just open with this. And I'm just okay. realizing, I don't know if my dad remembers this. So dad, I'm sorry. Holly, my stepmom, thank you for listening. Yeah.
Papa D.
Yeah, you're probably going to share this with my dad right now. I'm sorry. But gosh, I was an average student in high school. So, you know, I just, for whatever reason, never clicked upstairs for me. And so I was just kind of an average student. And my dad, being a teacher, had value in doing well in school and getting grades and doing well. And so there was a couple report cards.
So you were the model child. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, freaking right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep.
I was
yep.
sports. So that was my, that was always my fallback. Like,
okay.
hey, do you want me to win Valley Championships or do you want me to get good grades? Like,
you can't have both.
Yeah. In my mind, I couldn't. I don't know why. It never made sense. But
right.
So, you know, we got a couple, there's a couple report cards that weren't the best. And so we'd have to go talk to our dad. And there was one time me and my brother were just, you know, we were laughing and goofing around, so we were not in the right mentality. And our dad got a report card, so we had to go talk to him. And it was like we were goofing around. Like we weren't being respectful okay. of the moment at all. And so my dad's like, well, where do you think you're going to work with grades like this?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, but the first thing that came to mind was McDonald's.
There
I
you
said,
go.
McDonald's. And we just started laughing, like, and we just thought it was funny, and you know, obviously he wasn't happy about it because you know, he wasn't. It was just kind of like mocking the situation. Well, no, just mocking the situation. You know,
right.
it wasn't. You know, we were laughing around, you know, and just screwing around. Well, you know, flash forward 20 years later, I you know ended up getting a career at Wendy's and having a fantastic job. You know, working for Wendy's and absolutely loving it and being in the business world and. So it's one of those funny stories of like, I don't know.
It all kind of came around and gave you a big hug yeah. there on the back.
I remember signing the paper and being like, I wonder what happened here.
This feels like, right.
How did, yeah.
Dad?
Yeah. Dad? Well, like what? Yeah.
Well, great. So tell us a little bit about like your journey in food and yeah, being in the food service world.
Yeah. So I you know, I always ended up, you end up in something and all of a sudden you realize you can't get away from it. So mm-hmm. my first job was delivering pizzas, you know, and working at a sandwich shop. So it was actually two jobs at once. So I learned how to hustle working 13, 14 hour days during Christmas
yeah.
break.
Yeah.
After that ended up getting, you know, some other jobs on the side, but ended back up in food. So
yeah.
had an opportunity to go play volleyball in Europe, went and played volleyball in Europe, came back. And when I came back, I had a friend who got me a job at Cheesecake Factory. And so had a great time and loved Cheesecake Factory for 2 years, learned seriously, probably some of the most challenging moments of my life.
Really?
I always joked when
well,
I started.
Tell us about like a challenging moment that sticks out from you from
well,
that time.
I always joked when I yeah. started, you know, that there was a study that came out like that men speak, you know, 10,000 words in a day or 15,000 words in a day. And women speak, you know, it's like 60, 70, 80,000 words a day. It was a big difference. And
mm-hmm.
if you looked at me and my wife, you would clearly tell that rang true for us. My wife
okay.
Is very, very well spoken, you know, speaks very
talkative,
well,
and,
talkative,
yeah.
friendly, energetic. And I was more on the solemn, quiet side. But you can't be solemn and quiet and serve tables.
Right.
And so I remember like, yeah, I'll take a job. Cheesecake's a good job for me. It's going to be a great opportunity for me. So I jumped on it, not realizing that my 10,000 words a day were going to go to 80,000 words a day, 90,000, you know.
Yeah.
I remember getting home and the wife's like, how'd everything go? And it's like, I can't talk. I can't
even. Used all my words
yeah.
today.
I'm
yeah.
used up for the week. I got to go back to work tomorrow.
Right. So, wow. Okay.
Very challenging for me to be able, and then also learning how to communicate. You know, before communicating was, you know, the grunts, the growls, the yelling at people on the sport court, you know, whatever it was, you know, and then having to communicate and articulate what I was saying effectively. Yeah. And being able to solve problems for customers if it arose, being able to work off of their emotions, their feelings, what's going on as you're serving them, and being able to appease tables is not an easy thing to do at all.
Yeah. Tell me about that transition, right, from like a fast food and a pizza kind of, mentality, but job, to like a serving your, you know, face-to-face with the client, the customer, and get like, you know, them not being happy with you right in front of you. I would feel like that'd be a little bit of a difference, right?
Yeah. It was really hard. That's another thing.
Or you never made mistakes, right?
Oh my gosh. I screwed up so often.
Did you ever like drop, like that's my fear always, like at a restaurant, like I'd drop food on someone.
One time, or whatever,
I would be.
Worst moment of my life. I didn't ever drop food on someone. You know, you always see those servers that have like 15 trays. That wasn't me. I was like, one in each hand. I'm making sure I'm not dropping this. But one time I went and put a water, luckily it was water, but I put a water in front of a guy and somehow I hit it as I was handing out the rest of the waters. If you know Cheesecake Factory and the giant tables, and it fell over in his lap. And I was like, oh my gosh. I had nightmares about that for quite a while.
Sounds like an awkward movie, but
yeah. And he was really nice about it. And I thank the Lord. He was very nice about it. But it's, you know, in this process of me growing in personal growth, I've learned I really like, I like it when people like me. So that's really hard, like messing up and screwing up, you know. It's hard. It's hard when people don't like you and you make mistakes. And especially as a server. I mean, it was, you know, I'd be, you know, I'd do pretty good, but you'd always have like one mistake a night. You know, there was always something. You forgot to put an order in or you forgot something, you know. And, you know, a lot of times those little small things. Someone wanted extra ranch and you forgot it. And then
you're like going to sleep that night like, I never got her extra ranch.
Every time. 1 a.m. I can't tell you how many times I woke up. 1 a.m.
Shut up, you did.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I think every server goes through this. But please, email us and relate. Don't leave me stranded. But I can't tell you how many times I woke up at 1, like literally cold sweats shaking, like I forgot to do this. Oh. I forgot to run that food out. Or I forgot, you know, I forgot to put that order in. Yeah. I didn't get them dessert, you know, that's whatever funny. It was. Is it still sitting there?
Funny, but that's how I like always freak out. Like, did I not write that paper for that last class? Wait, I graduated college. We're all good. So, food's been kind of like a thread kind of throughout your life. Yeah. So, like, is there things that like food has kind of taught you, the food business, or
You know, and that was the transition. I went from the Cheesecake Factory to the Wendy's, and I never realized that I really liked leadership and business. I mean, I always wanted to be like a sports coach and coach and develop people, but the moment I got to Wendy's, it was like, okay, I could coach them how to play sports, or I could coach them how to make the good fry, you know, make a really good fry, or make a really good sandwich, or cook the patty right, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I went into coaching people,
training.
And I really
people,
developing people. And I realized I love that, you know, and the leadership, the development, and working with people. And so I learned a ton through that process. Like, it's even hard to say how much I learned, like a huge growth moment, you know, going to Cheesecake and learning how to communicate and articulate, and then huge growth moment on learning how to communicate and articulate as a leader and not just like someone trying to communicate, but there's a leadership style to communication.
Yeah. That shoulder to shoulder kind of leadership. Yeah.
One key component in that is feedback. Feedback is one key component in that, but also the one that I really had to work through was follow-up, the two F's, feedback and follow-up.
Don't use that third F.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Too many F's on the podcast.
So now you have to tell, now you spilled the beans. Tell the story about the two F's.
Well, feedback will be later. That's something I'm working through
now. It feels bad saying
that,
everyone. It feels bad. Like, but it's
not. We're
not
cussing. I promise. So follow-up was such a big one because when you're a leader, it's so easy to do drive-bys. You go past, you say, hey, you're doing that wrong, and then you keep going. Mm-hmm. And the problem is if you never go back and follow up, you never make sure that they do it, they fix it. And what ends up happening is people never really take your word as anything creditable. they say, oh, he says that, but I don't need to change it. He won't ever come back and look at it. And so follow-up, especially like in Wendy's, became such a big deal of like, if I say anything, I have to go back and follow up. I have to make sure I follow up with it, even if it's the smallest thing. So I had to start being better with my words and communicating clearly. But even in that process of learning about follow-up, I started learning that follow-up gave you an opportunity to praise people for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so it became a really powerful opportunity of like, hey, you did that really well. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks
it's,
for...
It's like really hard, like I know in my life, like to take feedback from people or take follow-up or whatever. And if like, you know, you don't have that relationship or like you didn't put in like good coins in like, oh, hey, like thanks for doing that, pat on the back, pray, you know, whatever it might be, recognition. And so, yeah, that feels like a lesson, a good one to learn, right? Yeah. Like early in your career. So that's great.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. You said coins. I'm thinking of a candy machine right now. And you're investing, you're putting coins in the candy machine. And if you put enough coins in, you get a candy bar, right?
Yeah.
So you put enough coins in people, you get a candy bar.
Don't make me hungry, man. this is a podcast about food.
So
follow-up,
yeah. And I most people with follow-up think follow-up is about critiquing what they're doing. So you're following up. So you see something wrong, you coach them, and then you follow up to make sure that they're doing it right. And I started seeing it more as an opportunity to praise them for changing it and doing it right. Mm-hmm. And so follow-up became a lot about praise. Every once in a while, you had to go back and say, hey, it's still not quite the way I want it. Mm-hmm. But it also became such an opportunity to go back and praise them for what they're doing. It became huge inside the business.
Well, I think that is a great point because, like, always we can see these things as opportunities, right? Instead mm-hmm. of like, oh man, I don't want to do that. Like, oh, maybe that'll make them mad or whatever. But like all of these things end up being like opportunities like for you to grow, for maybe mm-hmm. the person to grow. Yeah. And so I'm sure that was a really big growth, you know, point in your life. And I'm sure there's ups and downs with that. So like related to people, Kit, like, can you think of a time when there was like, you know, a like personal struggle or mm-hmm. conflict, like at work where you had to like kind of you know, use that and take that as a positive and try to really, you know, point that into a positive direction?
Yeah. I mean, a lot. I'm trying to think of what comes to mind. Like specifically on that, I love good stories, so I'm trying to get a good one in there. I Wendy's did such a good job on systems and having good systems. So one of the systems is the stores get routinely inspected, and my job as a senior leadership was to go through and routinely inspect locations to make sure that they're up to the par that we have. So you would constantly do it. I mean, it's 300 questionnaire that you go through and you're correcting and you're checking, and you would present it to them. So you would have to sit down with this manager running the location and say, hey, these are the things you did well, and these are things that we need
fixed. Challenges.
To make the store better. So it was like you were constantly having to be able to give that feedback, but then also follow up with them and make mm-hmm. sure that they
So did every manager just take that like really well and like just...
Oh, it's a mix, you know, like
did every manager just like say, thank you so much for telling me all the things I'm not doing well at?
Yeah, it's a mix. You know, the craziest thing about leadership is so much is about communication. I every single one of my managers, I had to communicate in a different way with. I couldn't just, you know, put it in a box and deliver it the same way to every single person, because some of them, you know, they if they didn't take feedback very well, it's you had to be nicer. You had to walk through it a little bit better. Some of them want detail. They're like, okay, you told me I'm screwing up. Give me all the detail. And they go through it in very specific detail to mm-hmm. make sure that they can go through and get it fixed. Some of them be like, oh, no big deal, and they move on, but then they actually don't actually change it. So you have to like get a little more intentional with it. Like, no, I need you to take this a little more serious. I need you to fix it. So every single person, and that's, I tell people all the time, like leadership and running businesses, you have to be able to communicate in different ways to your employees so that way they can receive it in a way. Like your job as the communicator is to make sure you communicate clearly to the people who are receiving it. I would say 90%. You can lead 90% of people. There's only 10% that really are that are not able to take follow up or feedback. You just got to do it in the right way.
So, question.
Yeah.
Go back to when 20-year-old Kit Maddox. Not sure what your hair looked like. Maybe you had long hair.
Not this coronavirus hair right now. Well, this is the longest I've ever had my hair. I haven't had a haircut in 2 months.
Poor, everyone's like going to bum rush all the salons when they open.
Well, I'm looking at all like the nice medium style haircuts. You know, I'm looking at the Patrick Swayze Dirty Dancing haircut.
Hey. Yeah.
But he looks way better than I do. Like, so I'm running into trouble.
I buzzed all my like my husband's head and my kids.
You lined them up.
Yeah. Everybody has
That's
a buzz
how I used
cut.
To do it.
Right. It's
my
a
wife
summer
would kill
cut.
Me.
But 20-year-old Kit Maddox.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of, like, how would you need to, like, share something with feedback or criticism with, like, what would you tell your younger self about business or about food?
Oh,
or...
my gosh. I read more John Maxwell books. Like, you know, like, oh, that's a hard one because I've grown more than I think I thought I could have at that point. You know what I
okay.
mean? Like, you know, I've easily like, tripled my growth. And I think you, in that process, you learn like, I'm going to have to triple it again in the next 10 years. Like
okay,
I haven't arrived. I'm not even close to where the arrival or the destination is. And I'm in this journey in this process, but you know, sometimes at 19 or 20, you're like, okay, I'm pretty close to arriving. Like I'm ready to get my career and I'm going to crush this, you know, I'm going to get my, you know, whatever, my high paying salary job, go out and I'm going to do this, you know, and not realize it takes time. It takes work. You have to start at entry-level positions so you can learn the skills, the basic things of showing up, working hard, but also how to work with your boss and help your boss's company become better. Because when you do that, he wants to promote and raise you up. He wants to give you opportunity.
Interesting.
Sorry.
Interesting you said he.
Uh-oh.
So have you ever worked for a female?
That's a good question. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I mean, I taught swim lessons.
Sorry,
so some
I
of the
gotta
side
point
gigs,
it out, ladies.
No.
Who's listening to the podcast?
Here it is. The good
shout
stuff.
Out to the women. But
yeah,
we do always assume that bosses are males. But however, there are bosses that are females too.
Yeah.
So
in this specific case, to my defense,
to yourself,
it was a male.
You are a he.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I think I got lucky on that because that's. Yeah. I'm lucky in terms of saying he because I could have messed that up. I just said he. So, yes, but I have had amazing female bosses. I taught swim lessons. I had an amazing female boss. That was kind of a side gig outside of food. But even I had some great female coworkers at Wendy's. A couple of them, like at some points, were my bosses. A couple of them, you know, and then when I went up through my way, we worked together. So
okay, cool.
I've had some amazing not just bosses, but women
give, like,
in my
kid
life.
I just got to give a hard time a little bit. You guys, like, I know him pretty well now, so I can rib him like that. But
that's great. Yeah. Well, and you know, I love women, so I'm.
You're raising a few women.
I got a house full of women.
Yeah, it's great.
Raised with all brothers, and then got amazing women in my
there
life.
You go.
It's the best of both worlds.
That's right. That's right. So cool. Well, just to wrap up, like, what's some like the honest question that we have is what's something unique about you that most people don't know?
You know, my wife always makes fun of me.
Full stop. No, I'm kidding. Your wife always makes fun of you, period.
No, period. Period. I had to put
no
a pause in there.
For that.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding.
No, there's plenty of explanations. She's got plenty of ammunition.
That's funny.
It's not undeserved.
So why does your wife make fun of you?
Well, she always says, so I played sports. I'm you know, if you looked at me, it'd be this total jock image, you know, of played sports.
Poor thing.
You know, as you heard, I didn't get the best of grades, so some people probably thought I was an idiot, you know. You know, just go play sports, kid. Like, okay, I can do that. Like, I majored in sports. That was even my major. I said, what am I going to major in college? Well, I like sports, so let's do kinesiology, which is the study of sports.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But I ended up majoring it. But one thing I love, I grew up on video games. So
okay.
I love video games, which is kind of cool now.
Are you Nintendo? Are you Atari? Are you Sega?
Oh my gosh. I didn't get my first
Commodore
Nintendo 64 until Xbox came out. Because my cousins handed it down. It's like Xbox came out and they got an Xbox and I got the Nintendo 64. So we were a little late on the scene, but realized.
So you're a Mario Brother person or Mario Kart?
Zelda. I mean, Zelda's got to be the original.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Or Canny of Time or, you know, however you say that.
I don't
but
know what
that's got to be one
that's
of the best games
to
of all
a geek
time.
Level. I'm not too, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
Ocarina of Time. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like old, Zelda was I'm it. Old school Nintendo, I mean, the gray one, like that you had to blow on the to get it to work and like reset the it all
Tetris
the time.
That ended up being
Tetris
on your calculator.
Was like my that's my era. I'm a little bit.
So I love, like, that's some, I guess, unique. I love nerd games, thinking. I love strategy games. Okay. So Risk was always a favorite. So we'd play board games. We'd play video games. We kind of just, it was kind of.
Jock nerd.
Yeah. So. Which is kind of a cool thing now. I mean, I guess that's kind of like a, you know, like jock nerds in style. So I guess I'm not that cool. But I guess back in the day it was kind of cool.
Yeah. Fun. Well, this has been fun. Like,
hopefully.
Hey.
I know. Welcome to Kits World.
Kits World, party time. Excellent. So, wow, that was like a real strong throwback to Wayne's World. If anyone's, have you seen that movie? Okay.
Parts of it.
Oh my goodness gracious.
It popped up every once in a while.
At some point, I'm going to put a list out there for everyone to watch all the movies. But that has nothing to do with the Fresh Local Honest, the podcast, however.
Yeah.
But we're excited to continue, like, talking to restaurateurs, talking to farmers, to food producers, to anyone in restaurants, like from bussers to like servers, and kind of share their stories. And so I'm super excited for what's coming up in the next half of the season here at Fresh Local Honest, the podcast.